Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Richard Porter.
I'm Johnny Smith.
And this is Smith & Sniff, a podcast in which two friends talk about cars, and this week, LS swaps. We need to start this one with an apology because the last episode didn't appear on Apple Podcasts for 3 days.
Shocking.
And looking at the data, it seems like probably more than half of our listeners listen to it through Apple Podcasts.
More than half?
Yeah.
Hang on, we're going to be thrown out the charts.
Yeah, we are. Normally, not to boast, but normally a new episode of Smith & Sniff goes straight in at number one.
That sounds quite boastful, actually.
Yeah, it does. Like a New Kids on the Block record back in the late 80s. Mm. And up-to-date references.
Yeah, I was going to say, and hanging tough, etc.
I suppose records still go in. Well, not records, are they? Tracks go in at number one. They don't climb the charts so much anymore, do they? They just go in at the top, I think.
No, but yeah, that's
anyway,
right. And we haven't collaborated with anyone, so we possibly
no,
won't
it's
be in the top five.
Smith & Sniff times someone else. But, yeah, now normally we would go straight in at the top of the UK automotive chart, and also quite often at the top of the UK leisure chart, bizarrely. And this week, no, we've sort of, the new episode is bumping around at sort of number 11 last I looked. It's lower than earlier episodes, if that makes sense. And it's because it didn't appear on Apple Podcasts. So I just wanted to say sorry for that. It was completely out of our hands. We did nothing different. The podcast is hosted through Acast, and they just then disperse it to all these different platforms, including YouTube. It automatically uploads to there.
Are they like a paper boy? They cycle past all the houses and fuzz the paper onto them.
And this felt like Apple took a stack of papers and dumped them in a skip rather than delivering them to the people who wanted them. I don't know what happened. So I just wanted to say sorry, and it wasn't our fault. And I did contact Acast, and they said, sorry, we don't know what's going on either. We've had no reports of a problem with Apple. Apple are quite inscrutable, and it's hard to get anything out of them. But I looked at all the settings. I didn't change any of the settings because everything seemed to be correct. And then suddenly on Thursday morning, just after I'd gone on Twitter and gone, sorry, I still can't work out what's wrong, it magically appeared, almost as if Apple were listening all along.
Oh, I think it's because of me that Apple have done this.
What, to spite you?
Well, I bought an Android phone about a year and a half ago, yeah. After having several iterations of iPhone. And I just went, what? Ah, bollocks to this. I'm going to try some no-name baked beans and just see what happens. And I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I think they know that I've enjoyed it, because I was the one that went, I'm not paying 1300 quid for a new phone. Get in the sea. I'm going to pay 400 quid for something which syncs with Google better. And sure enough, it does. And
yeah,
it's really nice.
They are good value, aren't they? Because
really
I had one of those Pixel phones for a bit. When I got it, my wife went, oh no.
My wife did that.
One of those people.
She's
going to be one of those people who deliberately doesn't have an iPhone. And I was like, no, I won't. But then I did find myself going, it's actually really good, you know.
Oh, I'm that guy. And Chops properly, she did. She sneered at me.
Well,
a bit like people that buy Audis even when they're crap versions of new Audis. And they just look at everyone else and go, look at them driving around in a perfectly good, like, well-designed Kia and Ford.
Yeah.
So sorry for them. It's a shame, isn't it? Wish they could afford what I've got.
No, I think it's the other way around, though, isn't it? I think it's the people.
Oh, is it?
It's like people. Yeah, I think so. Because Audis are sort of more like Apple stuff, I suppose, you know, very sort of design-led, but sometimes a bit flawed.
Mm.
Although, I does think I lasted about, I don't know, 3 months or something with a Google phone, and then it was just like, it's not noticeably worse than an Apple phone, but it's not any better. And actually, the camera was crap. And I went to a Grand Prix, and the one thing the camera was crap at was taking pictures of fast-moving objects. And I was like,
Oh, really?
Grand Prix.
Because the
brightly coloured, fast moving objects really foxed the camera for some reason. I mean, this was a few years ago. I'm sure they've got better now. But
I
switched back to my
amazing.
Old iPhone. Yeah, I bet they are now. That's the thing. Well, in fact, they are, because Google are making a big fuss about the cameras in their new phones.
Yeah, I think I've got a Leica on this bad boy, and it's really? Yeah, it is. It's a Leica, and it's got a better camera than my wife's, I don't know, iPhone something Max, which is too big to fit in anything.
Well, that's why I was cross. This is why I was cross with Apple about not putting the last episode of our podcast out in a timely manner, is because it was like, what else have you been doing, Apple? Not really putting much work into the new iPhones, because they seem pretty much the same, just with very slightly better cameras.
I think they've got a chip shortage. So in the space where the chip goes, they've just put some like Play-Doh and hope that no one will notice.
No one ever uses this function.
In fact, you'll find out that some of the new cars at the moment that are struggling to finish manufacture because of the chip shortage, I reckon they've gone, do you know what? Let's just put this on points in condenser. Fuck it. Let's just see what happens. It's fine. It'd be fine. Should just try it.
Joking aside, there are some superconductor shortage specials coming down the line from car manufacturers, from what I gather. Some are already here, actually. I mean, case in point, if you were to buy a Land Rover Discovery Sport now...
Sport!
There's this new Urban Edition, and it's sort of quite confusing spec-wise, because it seems like it's pretty much the same spec as the next model up.
Okay.
But it's cheaper. You know, what's going on there? And obviously it's a bit of a unit shifter. They've just kind of, you know, gone, let's give it a G up.
Bit but if of you a look unit spec, shift. It sounds like someone hurrying through the dance floor of a nightclub on a busy night.
It hasn't
night.
Got TFT dials, and it hasn't got memory seats and things like that. And I think these are all things where they've gone, oh, we could save a few superconductors there.
That's a great idea.
As many electrical things. And Fords are doing, I think, Fiestas and Pumas and stuff. If you go and buy one, they will knock some money off if you take a model that hasn't got some of the standard features that it should have. They're building them now without, because it's either that or idle the factory, and that's a very expensive thing to do.
They might be better than the more technologically advanced ones. I think they could be a better thing. Do you know what?
Yes. I agree. I think you're probably right. You know that 9/11 that I came to the Late Break Show live in last week? That, because it was the inverted commas base model, didn't have a lot of fuckassery on it. It didn't have, like, you know, lane departure warning and blind spot warning and all this other stuff. It was, I mean, it did have tech on it, but it had useful tech that's actually really nice, like wireless CarPlay and stuff like that. But it didn't have a lot of driver assistance stuff.
That's the future,
though.
Nice. That's the future, isn't it? Isn't it sort of? Isn't it a breath of fresh air to just not have too many hounds, techno hounds, in the car? Mm. I'm wondering if there is.
I think
on that side of things.
Also,
do you know?
Yeah,
I
don't know.
I actually. I looked at our old email address a couple of days ago, and we've had some letters, obviously electric email letters, about mostly about bump start sagas. And some of them have really tickled me, because I seem to have had a couple of interesting bump start situations that I've mentioned in previous casts. Some guy called Ashley Rogers. He's put, this is good. The title is Reversed Solo Bump Start with a Triple Pike. He's just put, after delivering an exhaust manifold to a bloke I'd sold it to online, my car wouldn't start. I was parked on the up track of a hill, nothing behind me. So I put it in reverse, rolled backwards till I built up some speed, dropped the clutch, and it came into life. It was the proudest moment of my life. I was expecting him to say it just suddenly reared up and basically landed on its roof, and I wrote my own car off. Because I've had to do a reverse. It was terrifying. I've had to do a reverse bump start in my Dodge before when it was left over winter, and the clutch rusted onto the flywheel. So the only way to kind of do it is to pretty much just start it with your foot flat on the throttle and for it to shock it off. And on high choke, a 6.3 has a little bit of twist in it. And I had to be quite careful because I was in a tight spot. But I managed it.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
We had a few messages about bump starting to the new email address as well. But we also had, do you remember we were talking about foodstuffs that accidentally get left to rot in cars?
Oh, yeah.
We had a message from someone called James Martin, not the chef, I presume.
He probably has left stuff to rot in his car before.
Well, because he likes cars and he's often got food about his personal.
Well, he drove too hard.
To separate the two.
You know, he drove really hard back from the early morning farmer's market with his fresh produce.
Right.
And
I don't know,
a lemon rolled under the seat.
Of his vintage Maserati or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, James Martin, not the chef, sent us a message entitled Cabin Explosion.
Oh.
He said, your tangerine story reminded me of something that happened one evening 10 years ago. I was on a regular long drive back from Glasgow to York on the A1 in my company Insignia when in the pitch black of the cabin there was an almighty explosion. What? No flames, just a massive bang. My ears were ringing and my eyes were stinging and there was an acidic chemical vapour in the air.
Right.
The dashboard was lit up like a Christmas tree, and my assumption was an airbag had malfunctioned and deployed. I pulled over to the hard shoulder, shut the car down and had a look around, but couldn't find anything apart from a sticky substance across the dashboard and windscreen.
What?
A bit shaken, I drove on another 20 minutes to my parents' house, and my dad went out to the car with his 1,000 candle power torch to investigate.
Dad's up the best torches.
5 minutes later, brandishing an exploded litre bottle of fresh orange juice that I immediately recognised as the bottle I couldn't find after getting home from Tesco several months earlier. Apparently, it had rolled under the passenger seat and lay there fermenting for many weeks until the pressure had finally become too much for the bottle and bang.
Bloody hell. That's some
James
pressure.
James says, I never quite got the smell of prison hooch out of the car.
I'm really impressed. So
that's
what,
amazing,
he had a
it?
Bottle of orange juice at 3 bar under the passenger seat. I mean, who needs a James Bond ejector seat? Just have some neglected food and just get it there really ready to... I bet that orange juice bottle was circular.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Can you imagine?
So swollen, Jesus.
Yeah, would have been like a spot that, you know, when you wake up some mornings and you look in the mirror and it's just come out of nowhere and you just think, hang on, that's a miracle that the skin is holding together on that bad boy. And you could even just lick your lips and the thing just fires out. Incredible power. Can I read out a bump start story from a chap called Matthew Hutchinson? It is quite a good one, I think. Many, many years ago, we were at Leinster car auctions in the late 80s. They used to have teenagers drive the cars around, did they? Were they mad? One of the lads couldn't get a Citroën GS started, so he got his mates to give him a push start with no luck. After several attempts, he got his mates to push it right to the back of the car park. One final push and it was a good one. The car was trying to fire up, but at good speed. You could see the panic on the guy's eyes as he now had no brakes. Just as the car splutters into life, he clips a man, a classic mechanic type chap in overalls who always checks the oil cap on every car going through the auction, who goes up onto the bonnet. Suddenly the brakes start working. The little chap driving hits the brakes and the so-called mechanic bloke slides off the bonnet. Mechanic's mates check that he's all right. He's fine, but he's just swearing a lot. His mates are trying to pull the chap out of the car. Unfortunately, we couldn't move due to pissing ourselves laughing so hard. I actually wet myself. We had to hide behind a car and we bit our fingers to muffle the laughter. I've never been to a car auction like that again. Well... what an amazing story. You basically run someone over from a car about to be auctioned. I've got to give that a round of applause. That's really tickled me. Oh, gosh.
I can't believe they let teenagers drive.
Well, I mean, suppose, of all the people, you know, of all
good,
the
honest work. God, I wish I'd be that kind of job going when I was a teenager.
I would have killed for a job like that.
I mean, I'm assuming they mean like 17 and up, not like 14-year-olds. Just, well, maybe they do. I don't know.
Maybe it is
better
just
than paper round.
Yeah. Oh, Ashley, there's only a couple of letters to the old email address. I thought I'd just smash them out. Ashley, chaps, short story regarding car prices. My mum wanted a new Mini, so she went to trade in her old one recently, and Mini offered her $9,500. We Buy Any Car took it for 13, and then it was on Cinch, who they partner with, for $15,500 1 week later. Utter madness. Regards, Ashley. Well,
now,
interesting.
That's interesting. After we mentioned We Buy Any Car, other services are available. Motorway, that's the new one, isn't it? But we're not endorsing any of these. But
no, we're not.
But we did mention it because a car trader had told me that they're offering sometimes some pretty giddy
money for stuff
in the current crazy car market. I thought I'll just find out what they would give me for my cars, and it wasn't quite as like woohoo as I thought it might be. They're probably about $5,000 off.
Is this the Porsche?
The Porsche would be worth, yeah.
Okay, so not quite as ecstatic as you would have liked to have been.
Yeah, so that's fine. But it was good to know. It's good to do the research.
They didn't mistake the 911 for a works GT car or something, then.
No, no. But what it did do, and I presume this is their way. You know how, like, sometimes insurance companies, particularly back when hot hatches were a liability, and insurance companies would deliberately quote like $100,000 for a yearly premium just because they wanted you to go away.
Yes.
And I presume that We Buy Any Car maybe in some circumstances do the exact opposite. They super lowball you to get your goer to go away, because when I asked them what they'd give me for my Defender, purely out of interest, and bearing in mind, you know, it's a last-of-the-line Defender heritage, they are quite sought after, and when they come up for sale, they do seem to go for some pretty strong money. We Buy Any Car offered me £150 for it.
What?
Yeah. I know.
They offered
really
you £150 for the last edition Land Rover. What's going on up there? Have they got a chimp that's just spinning a roulette wheel? What's going on?
They've got to pull the chimp off and get another, not like that, and then get another chimp in because he's too tired now and he's doing some silly things that could really affect the business. No, I just...
Oh my gosh, 150 notes. That's just like...
But that is them just going... Go on, go away. We don't want that. It's too much aggro because it's a bit of a weird car. It's not, you
it's
know,
not,
it's not, we can't just...
I think it's their data, maybe their database or the algorithms just aren't working for it. And they just go, I don't know.
The Al Gorilla.
Yeah, it's Alan Gorilla. He's the guy he's the head valuer of We Buy Any Car.
It's better than that because just yesterday... I got an email from them entitled, "Uh-oh, your valuation of £150 is expiring." And there's a little animated egg timer on the email as if to say, "Oh, God, shit, I can't believe I forgot to let you give me £150 for this extremely sought-after car."
Please tell me screen grabbed it. Did you screen grab it?
I didn't. I will. Maybe I'll put it on the...
Please, or screen record it. That's just so hilarious.
Yeah, it's uh-oh, as if I was... Yeah. I was just mulling whether to ask them if they could go to 155. So that's weird. I don't know if anyone has any inside information on that, but I presume that's the whole point because, you know, there's not a Land Rover, even frigging rotten bits of metal poking out of a bog with a Land Rover chassis.
You'd sell a door.
You'd
sell
£150.
You'd sell the door for more than that. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah. It's a bit strange. I think it's just they don't want the aggro of dealing with a slightly off-beam car that's, you know... They just want sort of mainstream-ish stuff, don't they? To punt through.
Idiots.
Cinch or whatever.
Like I've said before, yeah. I'd buy any car.
Well, you do, don't you?
If the money's right, I would buy any car. Of course I would.
On that note, that barn find Integrale that you found on eBay the other day, did you have a little... Did you really? Were you sort of tempted?
I went and sat at a larger screen and zoomed in heavily on the A-pillars, the scuttle and the roof because it said, car's surprisingly solid apart from the roof, which needs attention. And you're like, you don't say. Like the roof looks like it's kitchen roll that's been in the wash in your pocket that someone has sprayed red. and then just put, and then it's just laid on. It's so frilly. It needs a new roof, but it is a real Integrale, so it's kind of,
well,
it's a precious commodity so actually, car. But
I'll put up a link to this because it's the auction doesn't expire till Wednesday, assuming it doesn't get pulled. But when I last looked at it, I think it was
five and a half grand.
Yeah. Reserve not met, and that's the bit that I was like, what, really? Because I couldn't quite tell, you probably did more zooming in than I did, how much of it was just sort of your classic barn dirt, which I think they now sell in Halfords for people to barn find up their cars.
I like that, barn dirt.
A lot of it was, it looked to me like there was actual corrosion, definitely on the roof. The roof was, like you say, was just like...
Oh, it's hanging.
Horrible.
That's a roof.
But the A pillars, I mean, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, it is possible to replace A pillars on really valuable Mopars, like, you know, B body Mopars, like my Dodge that are monocoque. The roof pillars are quite notorious, especially the C pillars. They're notorious for rotting through. So there are people that do roof transplants, but obviously. The car has to be good enough to warrant the amount of effort, because you've got to do quite careful surgery.
Serious. Yeah, that's like having a hand transplant. It just feels like...
Yeah.
Is it going to work properly afterwards the way that you'd hope? Or you'd have to have a lot of physio on your car to make sure it's okay?
Yeah.
On a monocoque car, it feels wrong. I just feel like... I'm sure it is fine, but
yeah.
I just reshell the fucker, which you can...
Yeah. You can.
I don't know if you can get complete shells, but Stellantis will now sell you certainly Integrale body panels, if not the entire underhull and a monocoque.
I think Stellantis should be... They should mention this more often in their literature, their promo. Maybe in their flyers that they put next to the motorway when you're...
they tie to lamppost next to traffic lights.
And it would just be... Yeah, here we go. Based on your face.
Buy the new Corsari. Oh, by the way, we make...
Integrale Scuttle. Integrale Scuttle crew, where are you? Like, yeah, we're over here for me. I am here. Integrale Scuttle crew. They'll go, oh, cool, though, you're over there. How many of you
made? Rotting through on the A-pillars.
Rotting crew, where are you? We're over here, guys. It's Lancia and old Fiat, sort of pre-1989 Fiat. Yeah, we're over here.
But what, like I said to you when you sent me that Integrale, is what is it's an 8-valve.
Yeah.
So in the sort of general ladder of desirability, it's lower rung. It's still a lovely car. I mean,
yeah, it's a weapon. You know.
But... a nice one
of
those 8-valve Integrale is what, 25 grand you could get one for, I think, for a fairly decent one. I found that sort of all right looking one, which had a worryingly brief description, but was still, it looked all right, 8-valve Integrale in Germany, and it was 19 and a bit grand. So yeah,
that's totally the car that I would buy on foreign shores, totally.
Yeah, well, because they're all left-hand drive anyway.
They're all left anyway, and you'd find one that's probably led probably a calmer climate life. Yeah, it's totally the car. There's bound to be a territory where they're not as desirable. Like, let's say the Netherlands. Just say maybe nobody cares about them in the Netherlands, in which case, bingo.
I don't think I sent it to you, but there was one in Portugal, a white one.
And you didn't book us a short break to the Algarve?
What, a quick easy jet flight to Faro?
Come on, just think about it. You and me, we land straight to the piano bar.
And who's paying for all this?
Well, I'll pay for it if the car's any good.
Okay. Well, obviously, no, it was 20 grand, I think it was.
Okay.
I wonder if I can find it again. And... but it was on UK plates. Because if it lived in Portugal all its life, you go, ooh, good. Warm and dry, but it's—I suppose it could have been by the coast, though, couldn't it?
It could have been by the coast. Always look out for how many piano bars are within a 5-mile radius of the pin drop.
Also, eat a lot of sardines in Portugal, and they're very salty as well. Someone's dropped sardine juice in it that could have rotted through the floor pan.
What, like the blood of aliens in the film?
Yes,
aliens. It just goes through everything.
I just opened up Car and Classic with the intention of trying to find that Portuguese Integrale, and unfortunately, at the top of the page, there's a Daimler 66 from 1992.
Oh, that's the one that you like, the XJ40 shape.
No, this is a
it's the late Series 3.
Series 3.
Like, who would buy a Series 3 in 92? You just look instantly elderly.
yeah, but now you'd look instantly excellent. Bloody hell, this is nice.
You're just a walking Goodwood revival. That's what you are.
Anyway, I'm not going to get distracted by that. No.
It's funny you should mention Portugal, because yeah, I had an interesting tip-off this morning about a very cool car in Madeira, and I'm wondering whether or not it should be extracted at all costs.
second podcast in a row we've mentioned Madeira. What a strange coincidence.
It's a very rare factory development car that got sold privately. Yeah, yeah.
Are you allowed to say what it is?
Well, I don't want to go into too many details, but it's a car that's close to my heart and possibly might have passed my driving test in one, you know, or like learnt to drive in one. And it's quite an amazing story behind it, which I might tell if I can.
How does it end up in Madeira?
Well, quite, Richard, quite.
Hmm.
It's all about, it's off of Second Home. Off of had the car for a while in this country or in nearby, it's not broken, it's quite friendly and it doesn't owe us much, let's just take it with us to the holiday home, and some 40 years later it's still there and it isn't
broken. Found this Integrale, by the way.
Have you?
The one in Portugal.
Is it?
It's white,
of course,
on the sort of anthracite alloys.
Oh,
it says it's on British plates, though in the pictures it's got no plates at all. It's got black leather interior,
yeah.
Sunroof, leather seats, price to sell, everything working okay, new battery, I will help shipping worldwide. It's got 48,500 kilometres on it, so it's low mileage.
That's not a lot.
I know, it's almost worryingly too good.
It's
to
almost
25 grand.
Yeah.
And it's a 16 valve as well, it's not an 8, it's a 16. So it's a.
Well, how long's it been for sale, though?
It went up on the 3rd of September, so a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, I would have thought a dealer would have Dysoned that bad boy up.
You'd think so.
Yeah,
wouldn't you?
Especially a car that's left hand drive only. Well, a little bit whiffy, but I'd be willing to pop over.
Okay, it's in Arcozelo. I don't know where that is, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, he was supporting Rag and Bone Man at a festival last week. I'm pretty sure.
Here we go. Arcozelo, Portugal. Where in Portugal is that? Oh, okay. It is in the. Oh, it's near Porto-ish.
Okay.
So, sort of midway. No, up the top, actually.
Yeah,
it's
at the top.
Portugal.
Yeah. That's easy.
Do you know it?
Yeah,
have
I do. I drove onto an overnight ferry and went over there, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
You got an overnight ferry from Britain to Portugal?
I think so. It was a long time ago. I'm pretty sure it was Portugal. I might have to dig out my globe and have a look. But, which also doubles as a bar, of course.
You sure it wasn't the top of Spain?
Oh, yes, it was Bilbao, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, sorry.
I didn't know that the ferries went all the way around the corner.
They do if you pay the ferryman enough. They absolutely
don't pay
do.
The ferryman till he gets you to the other side.
Well, and you know that song, the Christer Berg song. I think he says don't even agree a price, and you think that's. I mean, money saving expert Martin Lewis would be tutting.
Oh,
him. He'd just be going, "What do you
he'd
mean?"
Be furious.
You agree a cheaper rate, and then obviously unless. One or two of the people within the deal do something awry. That's it. That's the rate. It's like a fixed rate mortgage. You stick or twist. That's what it's all about. Don't dick around with a ferryman. Seriously.
This sounds more like advice from Martin Lewis's hated nemesis, Lewis Martin, who's always giving deliberately bad financial advice.
Oh,
and lives across the road from Martin Lewis.
Well,
and it leaves all his lights on when he goes out just to wind him up.
Well, he's one of those people that's sort of deeply superstitious and stuff like that. So when someone comes to buy a car off him, he says, do you want to flip a coin for it? And they were like, I don't understand what you mean. He said, if I win the toss, you pay me for the car.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If I lose the toss, you just take the car for free. Is that cool? You go, but I've come to buy a £30,000 Audi A5. Yeah, that's fine. I'm willing to take the risk. It's fine with me. Oh, okay. This is quite strange, Lewis Martin. Okay.
World's most risk. What's the opposite of being risk averse? Risk perverse.
Pervert.
The risk pervert.
Is he a risk
pervert?
Is he a
Lewis Martin.
He's a pervy risker. he doesn't pay the ferryman. No, in fact, he does. He double pays the ferryman and then says, I don't even know where I'm going. I don't care. Here, have another 20 quid note. And can I have a bottle of sherry because I'm getting bored and a little bit travel sick.
See, that's what you could do if you went to Portugal.
Get some port.
Have some sherry.
Yeah, we could do. Yeah, imagine that. Port. Imagine we'll sit down to a generous sort of three-thumb... port, glass of port to secure the deal on the Intergrande. This almost is shaping up to be quite a romantic, epic car deal that we could be cracking on with. I quite like the idea of a white Intergrande. I think white might work on that.
Well, I mean, yes,
with the anthracite wheels and all that.
With the anthracite wheels, the temptation to slap some martini colours on it would be great, but I would resist. I think it's a bit of a cliche. I like it just a clean white.
Would
I
you mean, just does, write Martin great. On the side of it without the I at the end? Just be brilliant, wouldn't it? I got a Martin edition. Oh, in fact, then we just sell it to James Martin.
Or Lewis Martin.
Or Lewis Martin.
He throws his money around all over the place just to wind up Martin Lewis across the road.
He'd overpay for it.
Morning, Martin. Guess the last time that I switched credit cards was 1994.
There. He goes, what are you doing? What are you doing? Yeah. Oh, I'm feeding some Armani suits through a Timberwolf in the front garden because I couldn't be bothered to take them to a charity shop or eBay them.
Guess when I bought my sofa at DFS? When they didn't have a sale on. Yeah.
And guess
Lewis
what?
Going,
I sleep really
idiot.
Well. I sleep really well.
Yeah, that's it. And I'm much less stressed than you. Go figure, you tight ass. He says, just randomly throwing some £10 notes in the air.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Later on, we're going to have a £10 note barbecue in the back garden. You want to come?
Yeah, I've run out of charcoal.
Yeah.
So I'm just using money.
Just tenners. Easy.
Now, Hey, listen, guys.
Listen,
look,
guys.
There's something I don't think we've ever talked about this, and it feels like it needs addressing. And it occurred to me last week, I was vising, because, you know, I drove that 992 to Ladbrokes Hill Live, and it's a lovely car. And I thought, I wonder where 992s are now, second-hand-wise. Of course,
well, how long have they been out? They can't have been that...
A couple of years?
Can't be more than two, can it?
Two and a bit. Remember, we drove one when they were quite new.
We did.
And that must have been, it was pre-COVID. So
yeah, okay, yeah,
I think 2 years ago.
Oh, that's the one where we lost the action camera off the back.
When we lost the GoPro off the back.
Yeah, that's right.
So I just thought, I wonder if they've sort of, you know, where they are. I was curious as to whether the new-ish 992s have dropped below older 991s that are sought after, like Carrera T's, which just sort of seem to hang around the 80 grand mark or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I couldn't find a 992 for sale that wasn't more than a new one would cost you.
What?
Base. Well, because obviously the second-hand ones have got a load of options on them, but even so, it just feels like in this mad world of car prices at the moment. But what struck me, and this is what I wanted to talk to you about, what struck me is how many Porsche 992s for sale at the moment have fucking privacy glass on them.
Oh.
Why do you want privacy glass on a two-door coupe?
It doesn't work, does it?
Gash. I mean, honestly, it's just the most awful-looking thing. And there's loads. Go onto the Porsche website and just do a search for 992s in their approved use scheme.
You'd have to park it near a driving range and then claim on insurance that it needs new side glass.
Well, see, I don't like privacy glass, but I sort of, you know, I've wearily tolerated it on various cars I've owned. Our Range Rover's got it, and God, I wish it didn't, because that shape of Range Rover looks bloody great with all clear glass, and it looks a bit vanny when you put the flipping tint on the back. Because obviously it's like factory privacy glass is ever only going to be on the back windows and the...
Yeah, and the front, you're not allowed on the front.
It's just
the Jimny, the SZ5 Jimny, you couldn't order it without gangster glass at the back.
Yeah. It's just annoying.
It's just part of the package, well, which is annoying.
But you tolerate it because you go, well, what's the alternative? Yeah, like you say, just, oh, shit, I left it on a firing range and some people have shot the windows out. I better have new ones, Mr. Insurance Man. But TV's Chris Monkey Harris hates privacy glass so much that he did have all the back glass replaced on his BMW M2.
Oh, he did, didn't he? That must have cost a lot of money.
I know, and I kind of admire his absolute purest dedication to clear glass, and I just don't have that much. I just couldn't be bothered, plus it's expensive, but
yeah,
it did cross my mind. I was like, what if I just asked how much it would be for the Range Rover? But then I was like, is it really worth it?
No.
I'll just live with it.
No,
but on a 911, catch a frigging grip of yourselves, people. Why do you think that's a good thing? It looks awful. It doesn't serve any purpose. No. Like, what are you keeping on the back seat that needs to be concealed?
Orange juice. A large flask of orange juice.
Yeah, litre bottle. Going to leave that there for a few months. I don't want it to overheat.
No, don't want any direct sunlight on that bad boy. I'd hate to have a sort of zesty explosion. It'd be awful. Although there are worse explosions.
From them later.
Yeah.
Are you not... Do you not share this, my disdain at this?
Because I think it doesn't work.
Jag F types as well. I just go again.
It doesn't work. It's not really going to work, is it? With the shape of the car,
no.
It's difficult in the UK because we're not allowed to do driver and passenger door glass with dark tints. So it's like having glasses where one varifocal works and the other one doesn't.
That is what it's like.
And you're always looking at the person, going, "It's not really."
It's the mismatch.
Yeah.
It's just like, it doesn't look good. It looks ugly to me. It looks like something that's sort of, there's a problem. Like you're saying, a reactor light glasses where one side's broken. You just go, you look like a prick. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And it infuriates me. But obviously people want it because various fuckwits have ordered it on 911s, and a lot of cars come with it from the factory, and it's sort of like seen as a, you know, a bonus because it's always on the upspec.
It's model. People so, that just tick. They blindly tick. That's what it is.
Do you think?
That's blind ticking. It must be better because I've added it to the list. And I think,
well,
we've said this before, almost it's what you don't tick on 911s. It's the simpler the car, the kind of purer the recipe, the sweeter the taste.
I had the other week was the base, it was a Carrera. The only option it had on it was the retro interior pack. It gives you that corduroy.
Sort of chunky
corduroy seats. And
green
markings on the dials and other little bits and pieces of trivia. It's about $6,000, so it's not cheap, but it was very nice.
Bloody hell.
And that was it. But everything else was standard, and it was a delightful car. Really was delightful. It was lovely.
Lovely, sweet car.
Unfortunately, I don't have 80-something thousand pounds to buy my own, but if I did, I would, because it was sweet, sweet car.
I was around a lot of 911s yesterday. I was doing some filming. It was one of those difficult situations where I turned up very early to the shoot because it was an early start. Going to be quite a long day. But I'd got up very early and I turned up for the shoot perhaps needing the full toilet and then quickly realised that we're in the middle of nowhere and there wasn't a toilet. And all day, unfortunately, all day, there was a bun in the oven. All day.
Oh,
it was really difficult. It was difficult.
Were you completely unable to concentrate on?
Not completely, but there was no. It was no doubt. It was. It's not the best state you want to be in when you're driving a performance car, I'm going to say. It's just a shame, really. I was going to say it took the shine off the event. It's not really. Not really the right way to describe it, but yeah, it's just not. It's not really the way you want to do business, as it were. But I'll change the subject because I've got a...
Well, I was just going to tell you that the privacy glass, just look this up, privacy glass on the 911 is £387.
So it seems like a cheap deal.
Save your frigging money. It does, I suppose, in the context. It does. When a rear wiper, I notice here, is £245, and that is quite a good thing to have.
It's good. I mean, the minimalist OEM modifiers would instantly strike that off and put a bung in there. But... True. It is useful, although just a shitload of Rain-X and just let it be.
Yeah. But, well, you can live without it. I've got a thing called a Renault Arcana on test this week.
Have
which
you?
Is like, have you seen this?
Yes.
It's like, for people who haven't, it's kind of, if you imagine the Renault Kadjar, which is just normal SUV, this is kind of like the X6 to the Kadjar's X5, I suppose.
It's a
sloping backed SUV. It's all right, actually. I was quite surprised. It's perfectly all right, but it hasn't got a back wiper.
Ah, so it suffers from Jaguar
Pace syndrome. Screen. Yeah, and you sort of go, could have taken a back wiper if I'm honest, everyone. But anyway, there's a lot of cars. You don't really need one on a 911, but it's just quite handy to have sometimes.
It just encourages you to clean it more if you don't have one, which is no bad thing. I've just realised the bloke that sent us the email, Matthew, about the teenagers driving cars around car auctions, he actually sent another email about an Allegro getaway car. That's the title of it, with an exclamation mark. Dear Mr. Sniff and Mr. Smith, many years ago, myself and a friend, we decided we were going to become car dealers. Our first and last project went like this. Ford Escort Mark II, purchased as a trade-in. We struck a deal. We could see the pound signs everywhere. Once polished and vacuumed, we placed it on the local industrial site piece of ground and we waited for the calls to come flooding in. This, of course, didn't happen for a while until a young girl with an Allegro asked if we would consider a Part X. We jumped at the opportunity as the Allegro was in far better condition than the Escort. We were on a roll. However, the Allegro wasn't drawing in the crowds that we expected. So, after several weeks and no interest, it was off to the auction in Leinster that I mentioned in a previous email. We again put an advert on the window due to ever-expanding family, the car was sold, blah, blah, blah. Time to cut our losses, we were going to give up on this non-profit business. Several weeks later, there was a knock on the door. It was the local constabulary. How can I help you, sir? Are you the owner of a white Allegro? I was, but it was sold at the auction. Can we see proof of this? Absolutely, as I had the paperwork. It was the late 80s. I still had it to hand. They noted it down and were about to leave. Can I just ask why? Yes, the chap that purchased the Allegro used it as a getaway car in a bank robbery. I kid you not, I admired the chap for actually purchasing a car in an honest fashion and also using an Allegro in a real bank robbery.
Oh my God.
I know. Amazing. Is that the world's first Allegro used in a bank robbery? I bet there aren't many.
I suppose we'll never know.
He can't have wanted to get away quickly. It must have been a stealth getaway. So just blend in with the traffic.
If your moral compass permits you to rob a bank, you think you'd probably just steal a car as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm wondering whether
he's eating into his profit margin there.
Yeah, he very much is.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't think it through, did he? Because he should have, in the middle of the night, taken a car. Mm-hmm. And then just done it all in one night. Car's freshly stolen, but people don't know yet because they're asleep. Do the bank over. Oh, no, because the bank's shut. Maybe he needed it to be open in order to hold up cashiers. I don't know. I'm not a thief. I don't think these things through. Bloody hell.
Well, I mean, I think in a way you've proven it's very unlikely that you would be a bank robber because you clearly haven't got any kind of sense of how to rob a bank.
Are there any other, well, if any listeners have got any other pathetic robbery stories or maybe terrible getaway car stories, please, we welcome those and other letters. The email address is, what is it, Richard?
I was waiting for this. I was like, does he know? Can he remember? No. It's hello@smithandsniff.com.
Yeah.
Smith and Sniff, all in words, no ampersands, just Smith and Sniff written out.
That's
the way
the one. That's it.
Normally do it, but without spaces, obviously. Probably over-explaining that. Yes. Do feel free to drop us a line at hello. Which I should read out some messages from patrons as well, because after all, they've sort of paid for it, and we've had quite a lot of messages. Which
we should on that,
there's
that side of things.
Called James Stevens on the Patreon, who says, hi, Johnny and Richard. Just been listening to the podcast on my way into work and had a thought about which engine Roland Giff from Fine Young Cannibals would be. This was the thing we were talking about last week.
Yes.
And we couldn't quite decide because of his honey, where's Harry?
Won't you come on home?
James says, oh, I think I found the answer. It's all in the honk. And the first engine that comes to mind is the K10 Nissan March / Micra Super Turbo.
Oh, gosh.
I attached a link to a video from Mighty Car Mods, which shows the honk. I've watched this, and he's right.
I watched this video.
This is the supercharged and turbocharged Micra.
It's unnecessarily over-cluttered engine. Yeah.
Over-boosted, yeah. Just,
yes, it is. Ha, ha, we're sorry. Won't you come on? Ha, ha. We're worried. Yeah, that's brilliant. That's a very good one. Yeah. That, in fact, I listened to it was on the radio this morning. A song by Heart, "How Do I Get You Alone," which we did talk about when we talk about exhaust note or engine note vocals. And I'm trying to remember what we decided that one was, because it was very high and it held its note for some time with strength. I think it was Japanese.
Yeah, she's. I can't remember, but she, because she's got a remarkable
set of lungs. Yeah.
Talky. I think we agreed she's got a talky voice. It's got a lot of low down pull to it. There's a guy called Tom Goodwin wrote to us and said that he just listened to the podcast where we talked about Spiker.
Yes.
And he confirms Victor Muller was the guy in charge of Spiker.
That's right.
But he also says the Spiker in question, like the one that you had at the live show, was built in Bedworth, just outside Coventry, by a company called Coventry Metalcraft, formerly CPP, Coventry Prototype Panels.
I do remember
In fact, the vast
that.
Majority of all Spikers were produced here, including the vehicles built as stunt / hero cars for Basic Instinct 2.
Hey!
Yeah.
Were there Spikers in Basic Instinct? God, I'll have to watch that.
I've never seen Basic Instinct 2. In fact, I'll be honest, I don't remember there being a Basic Instinct 2.
No, but was it still Michael Douglas with a deep V on in the nightclub?
I think that's it. Maybe, you know, sequels have to up the ante. They'd made the V even deeper. So
you could
see. Did he die? No, he didn't die, did he, in that film? In the first
he might have
one,
died. I mean, he was.
Alert. No, I don't think he did.
What
I mean,
was the gap between Instinct 1 and Instinct 2? If it was like.
I don't know.
Was it five years or something?
Oh, it must have been, at least.
So Douglas was maybe about 110 by that point. So a
2006.
What?
It was 14 years later. What the freaking hell?
Well, no wonder we haven't heard. So Spikers were current and quite exotic and new. Who was in it? Sharon wasn't in it. Douglas wasn't in it. Was she in it?
No, she was in it. Charlotte Rampling, David Thewlis was in it, and David Morrissey.
What?
All the good Davids.
You have to watch it just for Spiker content. Totally irrelevant to the fact that it could be a skin.
Right, I'm on the Wikipedia page for it, which is where I'm getting.
Yes.
It's. Right. Critical response. Oh my God. It's incredible. The first line says on Rotten Tomatoes, the film has an approval rating of 6%.
Six? It was that bad.
With an average rating of 3.02 out of 10.
It was that bad, and it had Sharon Stone in it.
The site's critical consensus reads, unable to match the suspense and titillation of its predecessor, Basic Instinct 2 boasts a plot so ludicrous and predictable, it borders on so bad it's good.
Wow, I think... should we watch this? We should watch this.
It's Well, now, here's an interesting thing. It also says on Wikipedia... BBC film critic Mark Kermode was one of the few critics to give it a positive review.
Oh.
Roger Ebert called it god-awful, but not boring. But yeah, it says that TV's Mark Kermode, or radio's Mark Kermode, gave it a favourable review. Although, hang on.
Mark Toilet Enclosure.
Yeah, I know this is... Ooh. This is going to play some audio, which we can't do. Anyway, there we go.
Okay.
But, yeah, also there's What I was going to say is Tom, who wrote into us, also says that Spiker has a special meaning to him. He says, as I wrote my dissertation on the aerodynamics of the C8 Prelator. I don't know how you pronounce that.
Yeah.
Prelator. That's the main reason why I have a wife, as when we first met, she overheard me talking my usual car drivel at a house party and introduced herself by talking about Spiker. She promised me a drive in one, a debt which is yet to be paid, I might add.
Oh, so it wasn't a chat about Basic Instinct 2?
No, He was chatting about cars and there's a bit of Tom's message I didn't read out, which he said his father-in-law, John Jelly, used to be the general manager of Metalcraft and was responsible for managing all of the Spiker builds. So, yeah, that Spiker brought Tom and his wife together.
Wow.
But I think that's the thing people don't realise. Spikers were made in the UK, largely, not in the Netherlands.
Netherlands, hey guys.
Yes.
I do. I like the Spikers. I do. I have to say, I do. I've got time. For
yeah. Them. I like
beautifully
the way
made. Beautifully made.
They look.
I was driving an LS engined BMW the other day. And
what BMW?
E36 M3. So the ghetto of the or as was the ghetto M3, really.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the sort of outcast, the dirty one, slightly.
Mm.
Roguey, a little bit Begbie Train Spotting. It got me thinking about this hashtag that everyone goes on about LS everything. It's a thing in the States, isn't it? Just put an LS in everything. And it was a hell of a tool. It was a great car. Real hoot.
Was it?
Yeah, bags of power.
LS be any heavier than the BMW 6 that you take out?
Lighter, apparently.
Car? Really?
Which I haven't confirmed, so please don't criticise me. But
no, but I can believe it, because they are quite light, aren't they, LSs, for their size?
Yeah.
They are supposed to be quite light.
And it was mounted further back in the engine bay than the 6 as well. It was actually potentially a better balance. I mean, it certainly drove like hell, and it was 530 horse, so, a couple of hundred horsepower more than the original, which is never a bad thing. Actually, it can be a bad thing. I don't know why I just said that. It can really be a bad thing. Take Caterhams when they had V8s in them. Awful.
Yeah, not. There's no need.
There's
is there?
Just no need.
I'd argue as well. I know some people disagree. I think you might be one of them. Is that I don't think that Elises and Exiges should be supercharged. Well, particularly Elises. Exiges maybe, but I don't. I've never much enjoyed a supercharged Elise compared to a nice, naturally aspirated one.
Would you make it a stipulation that you, when you buy one, you get given the supercharger belt, and if you can fit it yourself, you can then own it and drive it? But you have to do it yourself. You can't ask anybody else.
You go to the factory, and you've got an hour to fit it. And if you can't,
you're never ever having a supercharger.
They take it off you, and they won't give it. There's some way in which, like, they're not available in public. You can't just get them off the shelf.
And it sits there. It sits there, you know, like Mad Max, where you can switch on the supercharger and switch it off, like in the original movie. Is it the same thing where owners have to pretend that it's going to do something, but it doesn't?
Maybe if the car knows when you pass certain mileages. Like, every 10,000 miles, you're allowed to go back to the factory.
Yeah.
And have another go at putting your supercharger belt on.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit like that.
The logic is, they've done 10,000 miles. They might be sort of wishing it had a bit more power by now. Yeah. Let's let them come back and have another go.
Have another go.
Supercharger belt.
Are there any YouTube tutorials, or is it all banned? If you get caught putting a tutorial on of how to do it, you're struck off.
Well, because they control the market, don't they? So it's like they don't let you film you trying to do it.
No,
so,
not
the information
allowed.
Is very much kept in house.
LS is. I was thinking the whole. I mean, it's like I say, it's much more common in the States. LS everything, and then I just got thinking. I don't know why, Richard. I just got no idea why. I was thinking. It's one of those hashtags that could easily be misconstrued, and then I thought maybe a singer like Lisa Stansfield. I can imagine her greatest hits album could be called LS Everything, because you suddenly go, "Oh, that's like a greatest." It just sums it up. I've got a collection of hits. I'm LS. I'm Lisa Stansfield. So I am. This is LS Everything, and then she has no idea that her hashtag, or she thinks her hashtag, is being so used in so many different applications. Like, I don't understand why Lisa Stansfield is affiliated with a big, cheap power.
Yeah. Well, she's calling a record company and going, how's the album doing? And I'll go, well, it's, we've sold about 9 copies from petrol stations, Lisa. But, I mean, on social media, it's getting a lot of noise.
Loads of traction.
There's about 10,000 users of your hashtag. Oh, that's quite promising. And then she finds out. And then maybe the two scenes could dovetail.
Oh.
She performs a free gig for anyone who's put an LS into a car that didn't come with it from the factory.
That's a great idea. So it's the engine swap tour.
Yeah.
So she does a tour. She goes, right, all of next year, all of 2022, I'm just going to do back garden solos to every engine swapper, every LS engine swapper in the UK. That's a great idea.
Well, she's cut. I mean, I don't imagine she's not super busy, is she?
I don't think she's super busy.
I don't know.
I imagine men of a certain age or women of a certain age might suddenly go, quick, let's just put an LS in something. I'm always quite amused when people want to put LS V8s in a car where, you know, like the engine that was in it was just absolutely fine. Absolutely, yes. Fine. And in the instance, yes, of this M3, I know an M3 straight six is a fantastic engine, but I believe this car had a blown engine and they were at a value where a rebuild of the engine, yeah, was the same as the car. So you were like, well, that kind of figures. But other times you just go, ooh. You know, like when people put LS engines in the back of a 911?
No need.
And I just go, no need, but that's so much work for something that's just very, very awkward. Isn't it? It's like putting your shoes on backwards. You can do it. I know you can do it. It's just really difficult, probably painful, and you look, it's just silly. I just don't think that's right.
I know.
Weird coincidences. You know, we had that one where I was talking about bump starting and that helping that old lady, and you know, the lady's son messaged us as a patron, which was spooky.
Yeah.
I was on the phone to a friend of mine this morning talking about Brabus Smarts, because he's got one, and it rekindled my constant sort of bubbling affection for them. I had the plumber turn up to service our boiler today, because I know it was a hot week a couple of weeks ago and I booked him then. And he hadn't heard the conversation. Okay, he hadn't heard the conversation. He turned up just as I was finishing the call, and mid doing the boiler, we were talking about a car, some car, I can't remember. Oh, about the price of secondhand cars going crazy. And he said, "Yeah, I sold my car recently. I think I just did it because the prices were high, and my house needs a new roof." And he had a really immaculate, smart coupe roadster. I went, that's weird, I've just finished talking to someone about a smart roadster. And then it turns out that that he's actually a handy car person. Before that, he had a Porsche 944, which he put sills on. And before that, he had a 928, which he said he would definitely have again, but he bought them when nobody really wanted them, and he can't believe the prices of them right now. And he's had one of those very questionable kit cars. Was it called a Nova SS with gullwing doors? It had a 2-litre Pinto engine. And he said he went through it and made it absolutely immaculate and sold it to a man in Germany. He came all the way over from near the Nürburgring to buy it. And it did make me imagine, can you imagine that on the Nürburgring? I mean, like...
Can you imagine trying to drive that back across Europe? Good God.
And just getting it wrong on the Nürburgring. It's not like how much is the Armco going to cost me by the metre. It's just how much glass fibre confetti there is everywhere in the trees.
Jesus Christ. Ugh, I can't imagine anything worse. A car that's been built by an amateur you've never met.
Would you rather LS everything or bobtail everything? If you had to LS everything that you own,
well, I don't think either of those things would be applicable to the Porsche 911, would they? Because either way, you're going to create problems. But
well, a shorter wheelbase than is sensible 911.
Well, no, but bobtailing is just taking the rear overhang off, isn't it? Usually, do they shorten the wheelbase on those Range Rovers? I think they just
is it a visual illusion? They don't change the wheelbase.
I think you're just chopping the bum off. Departure angles. or your attack angles approach angles for going up.
Can you imagine what would be the strangest bobtail car on the market right now?
What's the car? What's got a really long overhang? I mean, like, imagine a bobtailed Lexus LS original shape.
That would be good. S-Class Mercedes.
Yeah.
Bobtail S-Class would look very odd.
Hello, I'm Bobtail. Welcome to my used car lot of bizarrely sawn-off cars. estate cars, bobtailed estate cars. Because people, they bobtail Discoveries and Range Rovers all the time.
They do.
Sort of bodge up the back somehow. Or actually, some of them don't. They do quite a good job. They look quite sort of neat.
Some of them are awful. It's just a festival of checker plate, which I'm fearful of.
Yes. There's often checker plate, it's true. But anyway.
Bobtail. Hi, I'm Bobtail. Well, he's definitely Bobtail. American football.
I'm Bobtail. Well, if anyone's seen, what's the worst or most unlikely bobtail you've ever seen, do get in touch. hello@smithandsniff.com. Or if you're one of our patrons, do it through the Patreon.
Cool.
But we should probably now pull into a side road over this one. Because we've been talking for a while.
Cool.
And I'm incredibly hot for some reason. I think I need to open a window.
Do you?
Or I'm coming down with something. I don't know. Anyway, before we go, three things to tell you. There are one, Johnny has a solo YouTube channel called The Late Break Show, which is full of many excellent videos of many things, including a little recap of our Late Break Show Live adventure.
Oh, yes.
From the weekend before last.
And I lied to listeners last week and said that the Barn Find was going to be coming out, and I've actually pushed it because of the live show video. I've pushed it, and it will be out by the time you listen to this. It will be.
Okay.
Please go and watch it. It's a genuine barn find of a very rare car on that side of things.
Nice. Two, I've got various books out. One of them's called Medium-Sized Book of Boring Car Trivia. But you knew that already, so there is a third one coming. It's imminent now.
Is your book going to sell better than LS Everything by Lisa Stansfield, my autobiography?
Tough call. I mean, the title really sells hers, you know.
LS Everything. She tells everything.
And the third thing I've got to tell you is that the shortest reigning pope in history was Pope Urban VII, who ascended to power, or whatever popes do, in 1590. He lasted just 12 days before he died of malaria.
What was he called? Bourbon, did you say?
Pope Urban. Urban VII, which in itself
Urban,
is
like U-R-B-A-N?
Yeah.
That's amazing. If a rapper hasn't delved into history and used that title, Urban the Seventh. That's just brilliant.
Pope Urban the Seventh. I know, it's a good one, isn't it?
Bloody hell, that's amazing.
I didn't know. But that's also, I don't even know if he was the last Pope Urban, but there were certainly six before him, I would guess, but going by his suffix. So there we go. Well, that's that then.
Oh, I kept myself awake at the wheel the other night driving very late by eating a family box of wasabi peas. I felt quite unwell.
What, rubbing them in your eyes?
Oh, seriously.
I ate way too many.
My lips were on fire. My tongue wasn't happy. It was awful. But it got me through.
Good. Valuable road safety tips there. Just one of the things we offer on Smith & Sniff alongside our chat about cars and popes. So there'll be more of the same or near offer next week. Until then, thank you ever so much for listening. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Can you download this on Facebook Marketplace?
It's a platform we should investigate, but with really out of focus photos of the podcast and some poorly written description.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.